Praise the Lord. Wonderful special and song this morning. Praise the Lord. Excited about that. One of my favorite songs about the coming of the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, if you take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this morning. And we're near the end of our series about the armor of God. We've got 1 week left next week. And so we're in the second to last message in this series, and with the different gaps of being gone and different things, so it's taken a little longer than I intended to go through it, but I think it was profitable. But we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Now, the passage we have been looking at is Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read one verse from that, but if 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 5 through 11 give us some illumination about the part of the armor of God we're going to be looking at this morning, which is the helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation. And this morning, as we've gone through this series, we have seen the purpose of each piece of armor that God has given to us and how that we are to put it on. We have a choice whether or not we're going to live in light of the belt of truth, live in light of the breastplate of righteousness, live in light of the feet, your feet, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, whether you're going to live in light of the shield of faith, or whether you're going to live by putting the helmet of salvation on. The devil wants your mind. He wants your thinking. He wants your mind. He does not want your thoughts stayed on the salvation of Jesus Christ. He does not want you to have confidence in Jesus Christ. He does not want you to have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can be protected in our thinking is by putting on the helmet of salvation. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God this morning, I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to look at our passage together. I'm going to read one verse from Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But the first part of verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. What is this helmet of salvation? Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 5. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dearly Father, we come before you this morning, and we wish to be instructed. We come to you as your soldiers and as your people. And I pray that this morning we would understand the role of the helmet of salvation in our thinking and keeping our thinking and our desires and our thought life where it need to be as a Christian. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this morning. I pray that you would bless and help us as we seek to do your will. And I pray, dear Lord, that if any here today, they are not sure that they're saved, don't have that settled in their heart that they are truly saved, I pray that they would have it settled today, dear Lord. I pray that you bless the message and give me the words to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In a message entitled, Suit Up, that's our series that we're going through, entitled The Helmet of Salvation. And so here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, we are given an outline or given some requirements for a Christian soldier. But we do see, as we went through our passage, that we see in verse number 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now that we looked at that part of the passage when we looked at the breastplate of righteousness, faith in Jesus Christ, and also love for him, and that will bring righteousness, doing right in our life. We also have the faith, the saving faith that we take upon ourselves, the righteousness of Christ in salvation, but also that a Christian, it is a protection for our heart to do that which is right, to follow after God's word, to treat people right, to also, we see here, these two go together, if you'll notice, in this passage, the breastplate, which covers the heart, but the helmet is what covers the mind. And we see in the last part of verse number 8, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Because there's two things the devil wants in every single Christian person. He wants to influence and control your heart, and he also wants to influence and control your mind. And if he can control your mind, and then he also can begin to influence your heart, if he has both of those things, then he can get you to do what he wants you to do, or he can disable you so that you are no longer able to fight. And there's things that affect our thinking and our mind. All around us, we see that we are in a mental, psychological warfare today. I don't know about you, but if you look at things around us and that you look at billboards or you look at the media around you, that there is a particular bent toward a particular way of thinking. And that way of thinking is nothing to do with God. If you look at the things that are around us, there are so many different philosophies out there, even religions. You know, as we look through things, we try to get things that are profitable and that are biblical in promoting the church, whether it be in tracts or it be in different things. And it's difficult to do that because there are things that you can purchase for a church that are maybe encouraging things, or we are looking at things for a welcome packet. And you know, there are some things there that are unbiblical in its philosophy. And one of the sayings was that the saying was this, and it's true, but the intent of it is wrong, that nothing you will ever do will make God love you less, and nothing you'll ever do will make God love you more. Okay? Now, is that true in a particular sense? Yes, but what is the message? It doesn't matter what you do, God still loves you. And it doesn't matter if you serve God, God will still love you. That is true, but that communicates something. That is a philosophy of the world. Hey, it doesn't matter. Basically, we can do what we want. God still loves us. That's what it's trying to communicate. That's a worldly philosophy. Does God still love us? Yes, but God is not going to be pleased with us if we are doing that which is sinful and wrong and not serving him with our life, which Romans 12 tells us is our reasonable service. It's reasonable for us to serve God because, we look at everything today and that the devil tries to make us think that God is not reasonable. You know, you look at the world today and you see what the end of the devil's reasoning is. Now, I will ask you something. How many have ever dealt with a person who is drunk? How many of you ever dealt with someone that is drunk? Okay, let me ask you something. Are they reasonable? No. How about someone who's high on drugs? Are they reasonable? No. Someone that is involved in some kind of addiction, do what they do, is it reasonable? No, that's what the devil calls reason. But the Bible says it's our reasonable service to serve he who died for us. God is always reasonable. Amen. God's word is always true. And so this morning, the devil is in a battle for your mind. If he can get you to think on things, to think on fleshly things, or to get you to doubt and to be in fear, there is a psychological battle that is out there today. If you look at the media that's around, you want to know what the culture of today is, watch children's cartoons. I said, really? Yeah, watch children's cartoons. You watch some of those things. Now, the philosophies that are in there, children don't pick up on because they're children. But if an adult watching them, you're like, whoa, that's what they're trying to teach them? That's what they're trying to do? And trying to implant that culture of allowing, well, homosexuality is not wrong, or the implanting, well, you can disrespect and rebel against your parents, they don't understand you anyway. Those type of philosophies, are those intentionally put in there? Absolutely, yes. It's intentional. And children don't pick up on that, but as adults, we pick up on things and we see what they're trying to put in there. It was interesting. I was on the airplane. I don't usually watch the videos all the time they have available, but they had a Disney movie. You know, I had the Pixar one, Inside Out. Have you ever seen that one? Some of you seen that one? Okay. This was, okay, yeah, it's interesting, right? It's like, hey, you know, it's a Disney movie. How bad could it be? So I watched that one. Basically what it is, it's about this girl and about the emotions that she has that are personified by people so that are inside her head. But the whole thing was a picture of what modern psychology is. And it was quite disturbing. I don't say you need to go watch it, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But I watched that. I sometimes watch things out of curiosity just to see what children are learning today. And guess what? Children are being influenced in their thinking. And you wonder why we see so many of our young people, they walk away from church, they walk away from God, they walk away from the Bible because they're taught that it's silly and stupid to believe in God. And that's the philosophies that we see, and that's why it's very important for you parents to keep an eye on what is you're allowing to influence the thinking of your children, okay? That wasn't the message, that's all for free. But so we're going to get into the message now this morning, but as a Christian, as a soldier, how do we protect our thinking? Well, number one this morning, if you're taking notes, all right, young people, you ready with your notepads? You ready with your pens? You ready? All right, front row is ready, great. All right, number one. We need watchful soldiers, watchful soldiers. Well, let's look here at the beginning of our passage, verse number 5. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. But then verse number 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Okay, to be sober, but also we need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. Sober means to be regular, calm, serious. Also has the idea of being grave and serious in that the life that we live is not just la-di-da-da. You know, we can just go do what we want and do what we feel like. And just the world is a wonderful place. There's a lot of beauty there, but I'm sorry. If you look around us and you see things in light of Scripture, the world is not always a wonderful place. It's not. And if you base your happiness based on what you see around you in the world, you are going to be sorely disappointed. But we do base our joy and our peace on what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross and what we look forward to, which what we were singing about this morning. We're looking forward to heaven. But we need to be watchful. We need to watch. And you know, we're able to be watchful because we are in the light. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 12, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Let's look over there. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. I am the light of the world. And he says something about those that follow him. Now, if you're saved here this morning, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just that you follow his teachings, but you have trusted in him for salvation. And there is a promise that Jesus gives to all those that follow after him. John 8, verse number 12 says, then spake Jesus again to them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. We do not walk, and we're able to be watchful because we are in the light. We are able to see. Now, how many of you've been out there, maybe you're watching for something, and it's pitch black out there. There's no moon, there's no stars, there is nothing. I mean, the most inky blackness you can imagine, and you're looking out there, you're trying to watch for something, or you're trying to see something. Guess what? You can stand there till the cows come home, you're not going to see anything. You're going to stand there till however long you want, but you're in the darkness. You're not going to be able to see. And if you're not saved here this morning, then you're not going to be able to see a thing. You can stand there and look and look and look and look and look, but if you don't have the light of life through Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to see anything. You're not going to be able to see the devil coming. You're not going to be able to see the pitfalls in front of you. You're not even going to know which way to go. And I'll tell you what, I was in Papua New Guinea. You know, we're used to they call it light pollution in the United States. If you live in a city, you don't ever really see it actually dark outside because there's all kinds of light pollution where there's lights from the people next door, there's light from the street lights, or there's lights from across town that shine up into the sky, and there's always some kind of light. Well, guess what? When you're out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains and they don't have electricity, when it gets dark, it gets dark. And there's no light pollution. We were actually coming down from the mountain we had hiked up to, and it was getting dark, and we had flashlights. And actually, the missionary I was with said, do you have a flashlight? He goes, no, actually, I didn't bring my flashlight. I'll be okay, though. So I have my flashlight and my phone, but his phone ran out of battery almost. So we actually weren't using flashlights. We just got home before it got all the way dark. But guess what? if we didn't have flashlights, we would be stuck out there. And then he was telling me as we're going down the mountains, I say, well, we don't really see anybody out here. He goes, oh, well, actually, Papua New Guineans in this area, they don't go out at night because they believe they only go out if they go out. They only go out in like groups of 5 or 10 because they don't ever go out alone because they're afraid the demons are going to get them. And we're walking through the spooky forest. And I'm like, great. That's wonderful. We're out here. And the one guy who's with us, he's a little nervous. He's a Christian, but he's a little nervous out there. So why is everybody getting nervous? Like, well, they don't usually go through this area at night because of the demons that are said to attack people here. I was like, wonderful. And it was dark. And there are so many people that live in that darkness spiritually, they can't see what's coming. But as a Christian, if we're walking in the light, you know, if you're a Christian, you have the light of life, but you can still choose to walk in darkness if you want to. You can walk in the dark place. But someone who has been in darkness for a long time and they have that light shown onto them, why would you want to walk in darkness? I mean, when you go out and walk outside and you have a flashlight and you go out to take the trash out or you take the dog out and you said, decide one day, you know what, I don't need the light out here. I'm just going to go walk out in the dark. I'm just going to trip over everything. I'm going to stumble, hurt myself, break my foot because I just have the right to. Yeah, you have the right, but it doesn't make you smart. Amen? We have the right. We have the liberty to do that. But as a Christian, we do so many dumb things because we could be walking in the light and we could be walking in the light of God's word. But I want to do it. It's in the darkness. You're not going to be able to see the enemy coming. Salvation brings the light of truth. And we were once the children of darkness. Ephesians 5:8 said, we were once darkness. We were once the children of darkness. But now we are the children of light. And when we are saved, we no longer of the night, then we should walk in the commands of Christ as his soldier of the day. We need to be watchful, for the devil wishes to lure us back into the darkness so he can defeat us. So what does it have to do with the helmet of salvation? Because we are saved, we need to keep that helmet of salvation on, that we don't do certain things and we don't go into the dark shadows because we have salvation through Jesus Christ. That we don't go back to the dark and shadowy areas. You know what? When we get that to that place where we say, you know what? Because I am saved, because I am a Christian, there are things I am not going to do. There are places I am not going to go. There are things I am not going to say. And there are things that I am not going to think. Because I'm saved, that helmet of salvation. And you know what? When you get to those places, you know, some people think, well, I'm a Christian, you know, I have the power of God, you know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can go to those shadowy places. Let me tell you something. When you get to those shadowy places, that's where the influence of the devil is the greatest. And you know what he's going to start to do? He's going to start confusing you. He's going to start sending those things, and then he's going to show you, and he will show you, well, how does he confuse you? Because he gives a false perception of how things really are. It gives you a false perception of how things really are. Isn't that what he does? He gives a false perception. He gives a false picture of what drinking really is. It's true. He gives a false perception of what drunkenness is. You know, the biblical term for that is a drunkard. And what does that mean? It means someone who habitually gets drunk. They are brought under the bondage of that drink. Well, we call an alcoholic today, and the definition of alcoholic is, well, someone that is affected by the disorder of alcoholism. Now, alcoholism is not a biblical term. You know why? Because alcoholism, they say, is a disease. It's not a disease. They're addicted to something, and it's a bondage of sin is what it is. It's not an illness. Oh, it gets quiet because a lot of people disagree with that today. It is not a mental disorder, as the world calls it. It is a sin problem that Jesus can overcome. And that people that are in darkness, they are bound with it. Well, they just can't stop. No, they can't. That is absolutely the truth. They cannot. It's not they can stop whenever they want to. It's because they're bound in the bondage of the devil. They are bound with the chains of sin. And only Jesus can set them free from that. Only Jesus can set them free. And praise God that he is able to set anybody free from any type of addiction, because anything is that is of the devil is a trap and a chain. But what is the devil presented as? Oh, you're just having fun with your friends. I mean, always the Bud Light commercial, you know, or the billboard, you know, they're always there, you know, drinking and they're happy and everything. You know, they don't show you the drunk driving accidents. They don't show you the people dying with cirrhosis of the liver. They don't show you that you had to throw up the next morning because you put too much alcohol in your body. They don't show you the immoral deeds that are done and people wake up from their stupor realizing what they have done, that they have cheated on their husband or their wife, or they have gotten someone pregnant, and they have done all of these horrible, wicked, and vile things, or they have some disease. And, you know, the devil doesn't show you all of that. You know, same thing with smoking and the vaping. I mean, all the young people that are doing the e-cigarettes and vaping today, do you know, he doesn't show you, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, that how many people are in comas and dying across the United States of America with, and the doctors have no idea what's wrong with them, that because these people would do vaping almost every hour of every day, and they're young people, 19, 20 years old, sitting there brain dead on life support because they were doing what felt good to them. But it's safer than smoking, right? It was the big thing. Well, this is the alternative. This is safer than smoking. Hogwash. It's sin. Same thing with smoking. They don't show you the people that are dying, needing lung transplants, have cancer, and all kinds of things going on in their life because of that. The devil doesn't show you that. The devil doesn't show you when he lures you in with immorality or pornography, what it will do to the relationships and what the backside of that industry is, which is misery and murder and drug addiction. And most of these people are dead by the time they're 25. They don't show you that. And all the misery and pain that is behind it. Anything that is of the devil is misery and pain and death. But if you're walking in the light, you're going to be able to see all of that. When you keep on the helmet of salvation, you say, I'm not going to go near that because the devil will only confuse me. When we say, well, the devil can't confuse me, you are a fool. The devil can confuse anyone. And he is a master at confusing Christian people, Christian young people, Christian adults. It doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 100 years old. The devil can't confuse you if we don't keep the helmet of salvation on. That brings number two. We are need hopeful soldiers. The light of the truth that is in every true Christian is the hope of salvation. Look back at 1 Thessalonians 5. It says here, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the light, night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who have the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the truth is that every true Christian is the hope of salvation. This is the helmet that guards our minds. The devil wants to take over, cloud your mind. He throws thoughts into our minds that are against God to make us doubt, to make us distracted, to make us turn back, to make us quit. And one of the areas he loves to do is he loves to make us try and doubt the hope of our salvation. The hope, are you really on your way there? You know, is it really that simple, faith and trust in Jesus Christ? There's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be more to it than just calling upon God. How do you know God really heard you? Oh, the devil is a master of throwing those doubts around. Especially when you get into the darkness and you get into sin, or you don't let something go in your life and you have that, you're in the darkness a little bit, and then the devil who lured you over there turns around and says, well, how could you be a good Christian and come into the darkness like this? I mean, you can't be saved and just succumb that easy. You know, that's what the devil does. He lures you and then he turns on you and tries to get you down. See, you're not saved. You're not a real Christian. A real Christian wouldn't do that. Oh, he loves to bring doubt because he wants you distracted. He wants you to turn back. He wants you to quit. And then you have people that we knock on their door. And you know what? They come and they say, are you sure you're on your way to heaven? And they say, no. You know what they say? I believe you can't really know. because I've tried to know. I've sought God, but it seems every time I had it settled, another doubt. I don't believe you can know for sure, because I don't believe God wants us to know. No, God does want you to know. It's the devil that doesn't want you to know. It's the devil that doesn't want you to be sure. It's the devil that doesn't want you to trust in the hope of your salvation, because it's not obtained through anything that we can do. It's obtained through what Jesus Christ has already done for us. We need to have that hope. The devil wants us to have hope in earthly things. You know, he wants us to have the hope in the stock market. Guess what? That can crash in the next moment. It could be here today, gone tomorrow. He wants to have hope in notoriety or in praise, but our hope of our salvation keeps our gaze skyward, so we're not enamored with things that are around us. We need to keep our gaze on the hope of our salvation, that, hey, one day we're not going to be here. Amen. That one day that we're not going to be, or we're going to be caught up together with him in the clouds if we live until he returns, or if we die, we fall asleep in Christ, and then we're to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we keep that gaze skyward and that hope, I'm sorry, there's nothing the devil can do or say or anybody can tell me I'm not on my way to heaven. You know why? Because I've trusted in his word. Because I know his word is true, and his promises are true, and his word never fails, and his word will never pass away. That's what we put our faith and trust in, and that's what our hope is in. God's word and God's promise, which is in his word, which is never, and God is not able to lie. God is not able to deceive. But who do people believe? They believe the master deceiver. The devil tries to get him to doubt, and they believe him. Remember, he is the father of lies. Anything that the devil says is a lie. The devil can't tell the truth if he wanted to. We must realize that. And our hope of salvation will keep our minds stayed on Christ. Those who are saved are no longer appointed to the judgment in God's wrath and hell, because Jesus Christ's sacrifice has changed our destination. And look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. How do we keep, what will that, keeping our mind on that hope and on that trust, what will it do? What will it do in your life? It'll give you peace. It'll keep your mind. It'll lock up. You are locking up and putting a hedge of protection. You are locking your mind up. You are putting that helmet on. So when the devil's thoughts try and come in, and you know what? It's just going to bounce right off. Do you know what? We have this mistaken idea that the devil only tries to get people who are sinning against God to doubt their salvation. I don't think there's a day that goes by the devil tries to tell me I'm not saved. And I'm living for the Lord. I'm trying to do what's right. And I think all of us, be honest, the devil throws that thought in there. But guess what? We have our hope and salvation not in how we feel, not anything else. And it just goes in and just bounces right off, because you got to keep the helmet on. It just bounces right off. He tries to tell, well, you're not really a Christian. You know, is that really real? No, you're reading your Bible. The devil is not. The devil doesn't care where he attacks you. You're reading his word and reading about the hope of salvation or his coming return. Huh, you really believe that? Yes, I do. Amen. I really believe it. And I hope you do too, because some of you say, well, we'll see what happens. God doesn't save people who say, we'll see. I'll try it out and see if it works. You either believe he is or he isn't. Either believe he is the Savior or he is not. There's no halfway in between. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But what is the secret to peace? It begins in verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Meaning you live as a Christian person. Your moderation, that you're not going and living like everybody else. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Having a relationship, communicating with the Savior. That brings peace and will keep our mind, keeping the helmet of salvation on. You know what? If we have doubts whether we're really saved, then you have doubts whether God can really hear you or not. Then you have doubts of that. Does God really answer prayer? Then you have doubts. Is God really interested in what I do with my life? And then all these other doubts come in. But if we have that hope of salvation, and then we really believe what Hebrews says, that we have access to God through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, and that he is standing on the right hand of God, and that they're standing on the right hand of God, and he's making intercession for us, so that we may boldly come before the throne of grace, and that we may boldly proclaim, the Lord is my helper. If you have that helmet on, you have the access, and you're going to go. You trust in that access to God in prayer. But if you doubt and don't have that helmet on, like, well, I don't think God hears me. I don't know. Does God really hear? All the doubts come in and disarms our faith. And guess what? As a soldier, you need that prayer life. You need that direction from God. We can be full of this hope and full assurance of our salvation. When we have this full assurance, then we can focus on what we are fighting for. We are fighting for our heavenly King who has saved us and redeemed us from hell. And we know who we're fighting for, and we know who we're fighting against. Everything becomes very clear because the devil wants to confuse who is enemy and who is foe. But when we have the helmet of salvation on, very clear which side we're on, who is for God and who is against God. It makes it very clear. Then also, lastly, this morning. So first, we have watchful soldiers. Second, hopeful soldiers. Third, faithful soldiers. We need to be faithful in every area of our service to God. We need to be faithful to put the armor of God on. The belt of truth holds the armor together. The truth of God's word. Do you love the truth of God's word? Don't ever take God's truth for granted. Don't ever take it for granted. Because in America, we've been given a great gift as a nation, and we have been given the truth of God's word. We have God's word in our language. There's Bibles sold in the Dollar Trees. There's Bibles everywhere. And you know what our country has done? Spit in the eye of God. We have the truth, and we get so used to having 4 and 5 Bibles, and that we were able to go to Bible-believing churches, and we hear the Bible preached, and we don't have a burden to memorize it or anything. Don't ever take that truth for granted. I'm just telling you something. If the powers that want to get control of our nation, that truth is going to be a lot harder to find. If socialism or communism gets into our nation, guess what? You know what the first thing to go is? The Bible. I was in a missions conference last week down in Houston, and there is a missionary there that they support that is a missionary to China, and he gave the update about what is not happening, what you don't hear in the news, is that missionaries are getting deported left and right in China right now because the prime minister, really, he's really dictator. Jinping has, by the way, he passed last year or 2 years ago that there's no term limits on his serving as a chairman of the Communist Party, so he is pretty much a dictator. So he is going to be, he has all the support. He has installed more security cameras and surveillance devices in the country than ever before. And there is now a social scoring system that they watch you and they see what websites you go to. They see where you go on camera. And if you're a Christian and you go to the known secret meetings, and you'll get a lower score on your citizen scorecard. And if you get a lower score, then you can't get medical attention. You can't get loans. You can't get jobs. You can't go to school. You can't even travel out of your city. And that's what they want to bring to America. That's what they want to bring to America. Saw it firsthand. And I said, oh, well, China isn't concerned with everything around the world. I saw it firsthand. Went to Papua New Guinea. You know what China's trying to do? Trying to reach into Papua New Guinea. And try. They have investment banks, Chinese investment banks. We're your friend. We went to a hardware store, which is a Chinese hardware store. They have security cameras, the scariest thing I've ever seen. Danny, you can ask Danny about it too. Scared us to death in that we walked up, facial recognition security cameras, and they demonstrate it, and it told me how old I was, what gender I was, and whether I was wearing a hat or sunglasses or not. Scared me half to death. You know why? Those things are illegal in the United States, they want you to think. But the government is able to do that. And it was a scary thing. You could just buy that security camera and do all of those things. Guess what? Don't take the truth for granted, because One day the truth might not be as accessible in America as it has been in years past. That's what God tends to do. Those who do not take his truth and appreciate his truth, he takes away his truth. Look at Israel. They rejected the truth of God's word. They neglected it. And it wasn't until many years later, such as the example of Hezekiah, they rediscovered the truth and they appreciated it then because they had been many generations without it. Don't take the truth for granted. Put on that truth every day. Don't take God's word for granted. Put on that truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Doing right will protect your heart. Do what's right. Guess what? We don't always feel like it. Did you know that? You know, we don't always feel like coming to church, but when you do what's right, it protects your heart from other sin. We don't always feel like reading our Bible, but when we do it, God changes our heart and protects our heart from sin. We don't always feel like going soul winning, but when we do it and we obey God, God changes our attitude and our heart and protects us from sin. Guess what? When you just do what's right, when you don't feel like it, that means sin is around the corner because you don't feel like it. The devil has influenced you, and not only that, the devil has to influence us. We do that all on our own. Well, I don't feel like it. You know what? You do what's right anyway, and God changes your attitude and your heart about it, and he keeps you from sin. That's a breastplate of the righteousness of doing that which is right. It doesn't save us, but also we have the righteousness of Christ in our life. No matter how much the devil accuses and tries to condemn us and tries to show us that we are unworthy of heaven, we have the breastplate of Christ's righteousness to protect our eternal destiny. Have our feet shod by the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do we do that as Christian people? Do we give out the gospel? So how do you do that? How do you do that? A great way. Are you a friendly person? Let me just be honest with you. Are you friendly? Yeah, I'm friendly. Then it's really easy for you to hand out tracts to people. Because if you're friendly, you say, hey, how you doing today? You know, people ask you, how are you doing all the time? The South is a wonderful place to hand out tracts. You know why? They ask you, how are you doing? Up North, we don't do that. You know, you go to the cash register, $6.85. Credit or debit. And that's all they say. You don't say anything else. But here, you know, you walk up to CEFCO's. Yesterday, I was out there. So, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing wonderful. And yourself? Well, I'm doing great. You know, just talk to somebody and everything. And you're just handing out a track. And I had to get some change. I gave her a $5 bill. And you know what? CEFCO, they didn't have any ones. So you have to go to that special machine and get the ones out. It took like 5 minutes to do. And I said, I'm really sorry for you having to go get the $3 and change and go through all that. She goes, oh, no, it's fine. I said, you know, since you did something so nice for me, can I give you something? She goes, absolutely. So I gave her a track. I said, we'd love to have you come out and visit our church. She goes, well, I'm actually looking for a church right now. And since you were so nice about it, man, I think I might come visit your church. Whether she comes or not, I don't know. But we'll just, that's all you do is you sow the seed, but you keep your shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and God will take care of you if you're just doing his will. He'll protect you from the snares and the traps where your feet might go. And also the shield of faith, we looked at that 2 weeks ago, holding up that shield, that faith, that trust in Jesus to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, that faith and trust in doing the right thing. Okay, faith, you have all of these on, but faith also holds that all together because our faith makes us put the armor on. If you don't trust it, you don't believe in it, you're not going to put it on. You're going to go out completely defenseless. We need to be faithful to put on the armor of God. We need to be faithful to serve. We need to be faithful to watch, to be sober. Young people, I understand that some of you are younger and you're children. But you know what Paul's saying? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away thinking of things the way I did as a child. I began to think of things as a man. And a man of God thinks of things in a particular way. And a man of God looks at the Word of God and is sober and is serious. And a child says, oh, what could happen by doing this? A sober man says, what door could I be opening to the devil by doing this or saying this or doing this? You need to think through those things. A child thinks, oh, nothing bad could ever happen to me. A Christian sober man says, I need to be careful because something can happen to me if I'm not careful. Sober man, a sober young ladies. I'm not saying that we can't ever be joyful. I mean, we think sober is, you know, serious, never smile. Everything is doom and gloom. That's not what it means. It means to take things seriously. Take things seriously. To be watching and seeing. By the way, if you're watching and seeing, you're not only going to see the devil coming, but you're going to see God do things. You're going to say, hey, that was God that just did that. The devil tried, but you see, God came in and went wham and got him. You know, you're going to be excited when you see him protect you. As you know, the Lord was in that. I mean, that could have turned out really bad, but the Lord was there. You're going to be encouraged when you see that. If you're walking in the light. But guess what? If you're not in the light this morning, you're a Christian, and you're not walking in the light, you're not going to see any of it. You're not going to see God working. You know, people say, well, I just don't see God working. I just don't see. You don't have your eyes open then, or you're in a place that's too dark to see what God's doing. Because guess what? God never works in the dark. He never works in the dark. You know why? Because he is light. Wherever he is, there's light. You notice that with the children of Israel. Wherever he was in the presence of them, that he was a pillar of cloud by day, but a pillar of what? By night? And what does fire produce? Light. Whenever you see God described, when his presence came, when he came to Moses in the burning bush, and burning bushes put off what? Light. When Jesus revealed himself to Paul, he blinded him with a great light. You look at him when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were blinded and they saw his glory and they saw a great what? Light. Wherever God is, there is light. So you say, well, I don't see God working. You're probably in the dark. Get out of the dark and get in the light so you can see God do something. Where is my life? Is it in the dark or is it in the light? Let me tell you something. If it's in the dark, you're not living a life that's pleasing to God. You need to fix it. You need to get back to serving the Lord. And when you are serving the Lord and you're back in the place of light and you're keeping your focus on him and your salvation in heaven and focusing on what he would have you to do as your Savior, then you're going to put that helmet on and you're going to be not able to be confused. It's amazing to see how confused people are today. People are confused. Christians are confused. To see things that are done today in churches and in Christian homes is almost staggers the imagination. Because they don't honestly see it because they're in the shadows. But when you come into the light and you stand in the light of God and say, Lord, what is not right in my life? Show me. And what people do is they stay over in the shadow and they say, Lord, show me. And the Lord says, step out of the shadow first and then you will be able to see what's wrong. Amen. Pastor Harvey agrees with me, amen? I'm in good company there. But if we stand out here and we get into the light, then we can see, oh, this is what, I don't need to be doing this, because if you're standing in the light, then you're going to see what's in his word, and you're going to want to stay in that light. Oh, I don't need to be doing this. This is not what I ought to be doing as a Christian person. It's not about what I say you should or should not be doing or what the church says. It's not about that. It's what God says in his word is what we ought to be concerned about. We're so many times concerned with other people around us. We need to be concerned with what, if we're right with God or not. We need to be concerned of what, whether we're walking the light of his word personally or not. Well, other people are, so I'll go do that. No. You need to say, Lord, am I pleasing you in all that I do? And guess what? If you ask that with an open heart, he'll tell you whether you are or not. And there are things in our life as we grow closer to God and we walk in the light that we're going to see things in our own life that we're going to need to change over time. We say, oh, I didn't realize that. As we learn, look the word of God and look into the light of truth and we see that shine in every life, oh, I'm not in the right place. You know what the great and the wonderful Lord and Savior does? Says, I'll forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But a good Christian soldier says, Lord, I didn't realize that. I've learned that. Lord, will you change my heart? Well, Lord, forgive me. I don't want that in my life anymore because that is just going to get me out of the battle. But what do we see Christians do too often? Oh, that's just a little thing. I can take that into battle. That's not going to slow me down, but what it is, and today, it's not a bunch of big things that weigh Christians down. It's a bunch of little things. Guess what? An ocean is made a drop at a time. Ever think about that? The weight of something. While this is a big and heavy thing, you look at these big, huge vehicles that weigh thousands of pounds and many tons. You know, you look at these ships, which are humongous. Guess what? Each one of those ships is made one bolt at a time, one rivet at a time, one weld at a time. They were once little pieces put all together, made something big. And guess what? Little sins all put together in one's life can lay down a Christian and make them defeated in the battle. What's weighing you down? That's why it says lay every weight aside so that may run the race of life. Are you walking in the light? Maybe you're here today and said, I don't have hope of salvation. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Will you at least be honest about that this morning? I don't have that settled. I don't have that hope. I don't have that assurance of salvation, but I want to have that. We love to talk to you this morning, take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning. Let's pray.